Psalm 71 from the English Standard Version. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel men. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace. May they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. For their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So, even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me, until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. For they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. May the Lord bless the public reading of his word. Today, the Lord's messenger is Pastor Abby Mohan.
Good morning. As our brothers and sisters in camp, in the church camp in Batam, are enjoying themselves after having their worship time, we must pray for them that they would have a fruitful and meaningful time as they listen to God's voice. And we must also pray for us that we would also hear God speaking to us. So let's pray for them and for us. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this wonderful morning, the privilege to worship you and to adore you, the God of all ages, the God of all grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for giving those of us who have gone to Batam to have a time of retreat, to spend time with you and also with each other in fellowship. God, we pray that you would so bless their time, even as they listen to the speaker, they will continue to renew their minds. And Lord, it's our prayer today morning that you will speak to us through your Spirit, through your word, that we will go realizing that the God of this universe has spoken to us. We humble ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you had been here for the past two Sundays, you would remember that you are listening to sermons under the topic of getting real. The first Sunday was about getting real about depression. And then last Sunday, it was getting real about family. And today, we are going to look at getting real about aging. If you are searching for someone to stand beside me, no, I have not brought anyone. That's not due to my age. I have forgotten about them. But I brought myself for you to hear how aging is so real and how I am tackling it by God's grace. But before I go to the sermon proper, please allow me to make some important comments. The title for today's sermon should not and need not mislead anyone of any age. My dear youths, young adults, please don't think that you are here sitting by mistake. And please don't switch off your ears and minds thinking that the sermon is going to be only for the old people. No, surely not so. If you look at the topic today, it's getting real about aging, meaning how you young people, you young adults, and those of you who are hitting 50s, can know how to grow wisely and gracefully. While you cannot avoid growing older, you can plan how to live your life for the glory of God in fulfilling God's purposes for you. First, let us see how this aging is so real in the context of our own country in Singapore. As per the statistics, as at end June 2018, the proportion of residents aged 65 years and above has increased from 8.7% in 2008 to 13.7% in 2018 and is expected to increase to almost 27%, that is 900,000 to a million, in 2030. So you can imagine demographically how old Singapore will look like in the coming years. Sounds scary, but it's true. Let's come to us. When a person can be addressed or considered as a senior citizen? Officially, the government declares you as uncle or auntie by offering you the Passion Silver concession card that allows you to travel with concessionary fares. For me, it took 2 years not to accept that. I wouldn't go. The sound and tapping of the card when the people listen, either you're a student or an old person. So I didn't want to go into the group so soon. But when do you, on your own, realize that you have become old? A simple test. When you stand at the end of the flight of stairs and say, without thinking, "Aya, why so many steps to climb up?" Then you have become old already. Welcome to Seniors Club. In our home, at times when my wife Priya opens the refrigerator, she stands there wondering why she opened it. Have you ever done that? No. Or sometimes she goes into the storeroom and stands there looking at everything, but can't remember what she wanted to take from there. Yes, I can see most of you nodding that it's happening at your homes also. These are telltale signs that you are aging. Everybody wants to grow old. Everybody wants to grow, and yet almost everyone fears growing old. Why? Old age has many frightening aspects, An aging body is more prone to illness. And almost every week you visit the doctor. You have appointment for your urology. You have appointment for your gastrology. All these things coming one by one, and they send you the appointment dates. Your strength is declining. You feel useless, especially after retirement. You lose friends and loved ones through death. The reality of our own death is drawing nearer. You experience loneliness. Sometimes you feel alienated from your own children and grandchildren because they are busy with their own interests and pursuits. In many countries, the younger generation often views the elderly as a financial burden to them. They think that taking care of them is interference in the pursuit of their pleasure and success. But in our country, Singapore, I still see the filial piety among the younger generation. Though sometimes the selfishness is hiding in there. They dump their children onto their aged parents. The other day, I encountered an old lady in my own block. She takes care of 5 grandchildren. When both of us were talking to her in the lift, she said, "I have 5 children, grandchildren to look after, you know, 5. Cannot tahan la. Very difficult, but what to do?" On the other hand, isn't that scary to see a lot of homes for the aged cropping up in the neighborhood estates? Of course, while it shows the government's far-sightedness and concern for its senior citizens, it also shows the sadder side of the unwillingness of many of the children to keep their parents at home. However, growing old is inevitable. It is an unavoidable process that begins at birth. The question is, how do we deal with aging? And more importantly, how as Christians, as we grow old, how can we bear fruit for God's glory? To answer that, we need to ask ourselves, what should I be doing now, however old I am, to prepare for old age? The fact is, you will be then what you are becoming now. If you are not becoming a person of faith now, you will not be a person of faith then. If you are a negative, grumpy person now, you will not be a positive and cheerful person when you are aged. If you are in developing a walk with God now, you won't have walk one then. Let us look at Psalm 71. The story of the style and the content of Psalm 71 clearly indicates that the writer could be King David. At his old age, as it has similarities to his other many other psalms like 31, 35, 40, and 41. At this age, David appears to be still facing many trials and problems. But yet, he is a joyful man who is able to put his focus on the Lord in the midst of all those trials. The psalm shows you and me God's way of growing old. That is, to develop a walk with him now. Notice the first 3 verses are very similar to his other psalm, 31. I put both the 3 verses in Psalm 31 and in 71. Both look mostly the same. Probably David could have written this psalm at the time of his son Absalom's rebellion, for that was a great trouble of his later days. Or it might be some trouble that had happened to him in that later part of his life, in which it was foretold that the sword shall never depart from his house, that we find in 2 Samuel 12:10. Observe here with me. In these 3 verses, in these verses here, the words, "deliver me," "rescue me" 2 times, "save me" 2 times, They are all written in present tense and signify the urgency of David to be delivered from the wicked, from the unjust and cruel people who have surrounded him. He is pleading with God, looking up to his unending mercy. David says he has taken refuge in the Lord, whom he trusts as his rock of refuge, where no one can touch him. And God was his fortress, to whom he continually comes to find safety and deliverance. God's children are not always given a smooth, flower-strewn path to walk through their life. Everyone faces difficulties, painful situations, and heartbreaking occasions, even at their old age. I too can recollect 3 such experiences in my life. 8 years ago, I faced a challenging situation where I had to make a choice to stay put or leave the former church I was serving as a pastor for 14 years. I had to choose between pleasing God or pleasing men. I was expecting God to vindicate me because I stood for him and for his word. But at the end, you know what happened? I resigned and sat at home feeling let down by God for 4 months at least. As my birthday fell in those, in one of those days of struggle, someone sent me this psalm, printing it on the self-made birthday card. It was Psalm 142. I wondered, why would someone send me this psalm that had nothing to do with my birthday greetings or blessings for a birthday? But I realized it was God sent. It was so real to me as it was a word picture of my own condition at that time. But it gave me hope as I looked at those verse 5 and 7 that God opened those for me. He has plans for me. That's how I came to serve at Zion. The moment I turned 60 in 2013, now you know how old I am, I became seriously ill with septicemia. My old age started just like that. The next year, I had to face a lot of deep, heart-aching events of my life. My wife had to undergo total hysterectomy, as the doctor warned it should be done immediately, otherwise she is on a stage before cancer. Then our daughter was diagnosed with a devastating sickness in the month of June 2014. The doctor diagnosed that she had avascular necrosis, the doctors would know, of both hip joints. It is the death of bone tissue due to a lack of blood supply, also called osteonecrosis. It can lead to tiny breaks in the bone and the bone's eventual collapse. I was shocked, stunned, shattered. Of all the people, why it happens to our Lord, O Lord? As if this were not enough, on the very next day, we received news that our son had lost his job. He was the sole breadwinner of his family with an infant on hand at the time. I was literally fighting with God to heal our daughter with medication. 6 months passed by, but without any improvement, not even a little bit of improvement. By then, my daughter was struggling even to walk. Day and night, I was crying out to God, asking him, "How long, O Lord? How long will you allow these things to happen? Lord, will you send me to my grave with this sorrow in my heart?" You know, Psalm 13 was so real to me. Are any miracles? No. No miracles. No healing came even with the devout prayer by God's people. Finally, she went for total hip replacement in India. It was agonizing for Priya and I as we stood and watched our daughter taken into the operation theater for two times within a gap of 5 days for two major surgeries. She came out of it after good post-operative care and rigorous physiotherapy. At her wedding, she was even able to kneel down together with her wonderful husband, and they have a son whom many of you see running around in the fellowship hall by God's grace. During this agonizing period, Priya was in and out of hospital due to her high blood pressure as she was worrying so much. Troubles, terrible events surround old people who believe in God. But to whom else we could run at those times? Ultimately, it was God to whom we went back, fighting with him, surrendering ourselves to him, trusting him for our daughter's healing, her future, for our son's job, and for his family, and for Priya's recovery from her major surgery. In my life, I have questioned God many times. But at the end, I believe that he has patiently taught me to trust him whether things happen in the way we expect or not. We have learned to trust his words that God is always faithful and his love is beyond doubt. He sees the big picture of our lives and his plans for us are beyond our understanding. Here David trusts God's righteousness, his justice, and his power to save those who trust in him. Righteousness is mentioned 5 times in this psalm, in verse 2, 15, 16, 19, and 24, and refers not only to one of God's attributes, but also to his faithfulness in keeping his word. But how at his old age did David know all about trusting God who always keeps his promises? Probably the next portion helps us to understand it. Again, please mark those words: hope, trust, strong refuge. David is reflecting on his past experience, not just for a few years, but from his youth, no, from even before his birth. That is, even when he was in his mother's womb, he leaned on to the Lord, he says, for he was the one who took him from his mother's womb. What does he mean by that? He said the Lord was his hope and his trust even while he was a young man. Remember what he said to King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Indeed, David trusted God in his young age, and God gave him victory over the giant Goliath to deliver the people of Israel. Further, David says that he leaned on God from before his birth. The Lord was the one who took him from his mother's womb, he says. Let us look at Psalm 22, 9 and 10. It says, yet you are the Lord who he took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Friends, it only shows that David had a lifelong relationship with the Lord, and it upheld him in the hardest of times. But do you notice here what he emphasizes? This relationship was not of his own devising. The Lord himself brought him out of the womb into the world for his own purpose. The Lord had prepared him for this lifelong relationship before he could have reached out to the Lord. Now, if you are seated here, is it not true that it was God who brought you into a love relationship with him? It was God who ordained for you to be touched by his love. When you listen to a heart-touching testimony or a powerful sermon preached, or just by the love of your friend who prayed for you for so many years and invited you to come to the church. And this old man who stands before you was born, brought up as the youngest of 3 boys. in a humble Christian home. Both my parents were teachers in high schools in a small town near Coimbatore. Many of you must be familiar with that name in India. Going to the church service on Sundays was mandatory for everyone in the family. You don't feel like going? No, no, it cannot happen. You must. This was a church we were attending. Well, at our home, there was family prayer every night, whether you like it or not. I always used to feel very sleepy when it was prayer time. And I always felt it was like an all-night prayer meeting. Only Dad and Mom will pray after reading a portion from the Bible and the daily devotion. When it was time to pray, all the three of us must or were expected to kneel down with body straight up. For me, it was a very strenuous kind of physical exercise. That too when you're feeling very sleepy. So when my dad started praying, I would kneel straight and then slowly bend down to rest my hands on the floor, and in sleep finally my head would slowly hit the floor. Yes, many times I have done that, even after the prayer was over. You know who would come to you, knock at your head? Of course, your mom. Mom would come to scold me very angrily. But friends, why do I say this to you? Those were the foundational things. This family prayer, reading of the Bible, that God was laying through my parents for my future Christian life. And when I accepted the Lord, I used to regularly meet with a missionary lady to study Bible with her. During one of those trips, when I was returning home on late night, I met with a major accident and was injured seriously. I was hit in my head and my face, bleeding profusely, and my hand was dislocated. I had 18 stitches on my face, starting from my forehead down to the tip of my tongue. For one whole month I was in bed, but then God sent his children to pray for me, and I realized then that God had a plan and purpose to keep me alive from that terrible accident. Remembering the past reminds God's faithfulness and his everlasting, steadfast love for you and for me. You know, I always used to wonder why my parents gave me the name Ebenezer. But at the age of 35, I realized that God was graciously Ebenezer to me, even before I came to know him. And then after I gave my life to him, he gave me a promise that I am with you always. So at his old age, David now, when he is becoming weak and fragile, remembering God's goodness and faithfulness during his past life, he calls on God to continue to uphold him and save him from his enemies who sought to hurt him. The psalmist looked to the future and moved from "You, O Lord, are my hope" in verse 5 to "I will hope continually" in verse 14. The future is secure when Jesus is your Lord. The word translated hope here means a long and patient waiting in spite of delays and disappointments. If we trust God, then the trials of life will work for us and not against us, and will lead to glory. We should admire the psalmist's words, "I will hope continually," because they reveal his courage and commitment. Let us remember that it all started when David was very young and he grew closer to God in spite of all his difficulties and dangers he faced often. Others may drift with the crowd and deny the Lord, but David would continue to be faithful and bear witness of God's mercies to him. He couldn't begin to measure or count the Lord's righteous acts on or his mighty deeds, as we find in verse 15. But he would never stop praising the Lord, especially in old age. Why? Why? Because he wanted to tell the next generation what the Lord could do for them. Notice what he asks here for. O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation. That is to say, Lord, uphold me so that I can tell this generation the glory of what you have done for me in my life. I want to be a witness to them. I want my example to comfort them. So by verse 18, we can observe that David understood the importance of one generation passing of their faith over to the next generation. If you remember, when Paul writes to Timothy in his second letter, he says, whenever Paul prayed for Timothy, he was reminded of Timothy's sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, and now it dwelt in Timothy himself. Indeed, the faith was passed on carefully from one generation to the other. Are there any better preachers of the works of God to be found than gray-haired parents and grandparents with a circle of their children and grandchildren around them telling of the deeds of the Lord in their lives? Have you ever sat with your small children to talk to them about God and your faith in Him? Have you ever shared your struggles in faith with your married son and daughters? Young parents, your small little children need to learn faith firsthand afresh from you, their father and their mother. And you, older parents, your married children need to hear, as they may be facing the same struggle you faced then. Who else is going to share with them? A father wrote a line in his journal in the final days of his own life. After having a meal with his own father, on their way back, his father said, "We should have done this more often." It was a statement of deep regret. Young people, parents and grandparents, let us not too regret in the later days for not spending quality time with each other. Our trust and obedience to his words will make us bear fruit even in our old age, as we find in Psalm 92, verse 12 to 14. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. David opened the psalm with a request that he would never be put to shame and confusion. And now he closes the psalm with assurance that his enemies would be put to shame and confusion. He had looked back at a life of trials and blessings from the Lord. He had looked around at his enemies. He had looked ahead at his old age and at his problems that he is facing. And he had even looked down into the depths of the earth in verse 20. But it was when he looked up and realized that God's righteousness reaches to the heavens, that he grew in confidence and left his worries with the Lord. This is a good example for us to follow. David praises God from the bottom of his heart and vows to continue until his last breath. So what shall we do? Count your blessings. Growing old is God-given gift. Have you not witnessed to so many young lives being taken away mercilessly and unexpectedly or suddenly? So let us be thankful every day for growing old and for the life to walk with God, our Creator. I think this exercise will help us before you get down and put your feet on the foot on the floor. Thank God for the gift of life that is given. When you are discouraged and worried, look back and count your blessings. Remind yourself of the faithfulness of the Lord. Like Samuel, erect your own Ebenezer, which you can find this in our garden. Thus far, the Lord has been our help. Secondly, David tells us we must be trusting and hoping in God. Spirituality cannot be worked out at the peripherals of our lives. I have heard people who are getting old telling me that they have heard enough, that they have heard enough of God's word. So they felt that by socializing, they can still grow with each other. It doesn't work that way. No one who is growing old can never take a break from our spiritual life just because we are old enough to take a break. My dear people of God, keep in mind that we Christians are on the making until we knock the door of eternity. So we need to study and learn the Word of God daily, continuously and consistently. This only can give us the hope in God to faithfully trust Him in all our troubles, trials and difficulties, even from the young age to the oldest age that God gives us to live. And finally, David challenges to live out the gospel. I have seen many people who in their old age look back to the past and are often quite unhappy as they do. They think of what they have had and lost, or what they wish they could have had and wish they never did. The present does not mean much to them, except as a basis of complaining about their multiplying aches and pains. And they are afraid to look forward. They are afraid of dying. David's approach to old age was not like this. Not only did he look to the past to remember God's goodness and faithfulness to him, over the many long years of his life, he also looked into the future in terms of the work yet remaining to be done for the glory of God. Now let me come back to my own story again. So do you think that Pastor AB's problems are all over? No. Still, I undergo difficult times, times of sickness, times of trials and betrayals by people around me, loneliness and much more. But through it all, I cling to my Savior, my rock and my refuge, and plead with Him not to forsake me until I proclaim to His might to and power to another generation. Through the most difficult times of my life, I am taught to understand the mighty power of God that can lead me and guide me as I cling on to Him. The 65 years experience God has given me, I believe, will help me to tell people of God's love and care and His faithfulness to this generation as long as God allows me to live. So the question is, how about you? Are you growing wisely? Are you growing gracefully? Are you growing for the glory of God? Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words through the one whom you loved so much, King David. We thank you for reminding our past, the days that you held our hands so closely and tightly and led us through. We are reminded of our young adult age and the adulthood. We thank you, in spite of our unfaithfulness, you have been faithful. And those of us who are old, Lord, help us to be reminded that it's God who is ancient of ancient, who is the God of all generations, can and have the power to lead us, to strengthen us, even at this age, to bear fruit for Him, for His glory, and for the extension of His kingdom. We humble ourselves in Your presence, therefore, Lord, to keep us in the palm of Your hands, to remind us of Your faithfulness and goodness, and help us to fulfill by Your grace to tell of Your wonders to the generation that we are leaving, that we leave the right and good legacy. We thank You for Your words. We give You all honor and glory. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.